This is KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. What to do about the historic Jazz District at 18th and Vine? How much to invest there and how to invest it? It's a question that has challenged and perplexed generations of city leaders. The questions are coming to a head again as a $27 million plan is on the table at the Kansas City Council, but not without controversy and questions. Tonight, as part of our continuing coverage of the district, KCUR 89.3 is hosting a town hall with people who live and work and play there, and with city officials, too. The co-host will be Eric Wesson, who's editor of the Call newspaper, and my KCUR colleague Steve Kraske, and they're both joining us now to give us a preview and share a little of their own relationship with the place. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me. How you doing, Steve?
Good, Eric.
Well, looking forward to having you guys leading this thing together tonight. And Eric, let me start with you. How long has 18th and Vine been part of your life?
Basically all my life at one point or another, but I have been working down here for the past 14 years. But growing up, we would come down here and we'd do our shopping, and it was a part of our history. So we were always down here when I was growing up.
It's not a place that people go to do their shopping much anymore.
No, nothing down here to shop at.
Is that a emotional sense of loss for you? Does that feel like a disappointment, or does that feel like just the way things change?
Well, you know, things change, but it is disappointing because there's so much history here, and it's such a fabulous place, and people should want to be a part of history and come down here. But as I've always said, right now, to me, 18th and Vine, or the district, has an identity problem. Doesn't know whether it's a jazz district, a baseball district, a non-for-profit district, but it has to reestablish. This is who we are. This is how we got here, and we build upon that legacy and foundation.
Yeah, I've heard that, Steve. People don't know quite what the 18th and Vine district is. Maybe it doesn't know what it is itself. I know you don't live or work there, obviously, Steve, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have meaning for you.
Oh, it means a lot to me, Brian, and it's really all a positive connotation. You know, usually when I'm down at 18th and Vine, in fact, almost always when I'm there, I'm either going to the Blue Room or the Gem Theater to hear some jazz, and that's really, you know, some downtime for me when I can really sort of let go a little bit. And lately it's been especially fun because my sons have been coming with me when I go occasionally, not all the time. My 18-year-old is really into it. It's the one thing I don't have to convince him to do. He'll go with me when I'm heading down there. And my 21-year-old, who now lives in Chicago and is going to school, he lights up over it too. So when I think of 18th and Vine, it's all positive for me, and it's a I'm just always perplexed as to why more people don't take advantage of live music that's being played 3 feet in front of you in the Blue Room. To me, there's absolutely nothing in the world like it. Yeah.
How did you first get introduced to that, Steve?
Well, I took I had a great opportunity in my life to go to Stanford on a fellowship program, and as one part of this arduous fellowship, I took a class on jazz, and it just blew me up. And ever since then, that was in the early 90s, ever since then, I've been collecting discs and doing all this stuff. And Bobby Watson wrote the theme song to Up to Date, the show that I do every day at 11. And he's
nice
become,
promo, well noted. Yes, well, just keep listening.
Yeah, but he's just recently redone it. I had a chance last week to go over and watch him recut the theme songs with Steven Steigman. And it was just an absolute thrill for me to see Bobby and the top line, other top line jazz players in town working on our show's theme music. And I think Bobby Watson is one of the great entertainers I've ever come across. So I have nothing but great things here.
Eric Wesson, you know, jazz was Steve Kraske's entry into 18th and Vine. For you, you've had a longer relationship with the place, but what do you want it to be? What do you dream of it being?
I dream of it being a place that has mixed use. Housing, that's already established. But I would like to see retail down here and restaurants and a place where you can go buy a sandwich without having to get in your car and go across town or go someplace else. Retail to me drives everything, because if somebody is coming down here, they're going to the Negro Leagues Museum or the Gym Theater or the Blue Room, that's their destination. So what do they do along the way while they're waiting or after they get through? My thinking is that if you had retail down here, like a hat store for women or men, a shoe store for women or men, while they're down here buying shoes, they might say, hey, while we're down here, let's go over to the Blue Room. Let's go to the gym and see what they've got going on. Or let's go to a restaurant. And that drives foot traffic, and foot traffic drives retail, and it creates an economic base for the area. And I think that above all else, retail, a great restaurant, a couple of nice, high-quality stores would help down here tremendously. And someplace just to buy a sandwich.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I couldn't agree more. And anybody who knows Eric Weston knows he's one of the greatest dressers in the history of America. So I think Eric Weston ought to open up the hat store and the shoe store and everything else. And I'd come shop there, Eric, and have you advise me what to purchase.
Consider it done. I'll start putting together a business plan.
We've got an economic development team right here.
There
in
you
the
go.
Studio.
There you go.
I mean, Eric, you know, you talk about having to drive somewhere to get a sandwich. I mean, what's that experience like of working in the 18th Vine District? The Call, the newspaper, is one of the, there aren't that many offices there, right?
Right. It's never a dull moment, let me tell you that much.
Say more.
We get all kind of customers in here. But it's a lot of history. And this, at one point in time, was an economic base for the black community. And to see it now in the state that it's in is really sad. But I believe that at some point in time, somebody will come along with an idea, and they'll get developers and they'll get a think tank together and come along and redevelop this area. And I think that's what part of the $27 million is about.
Right.
Giving it a shot in the arm to see what it can be.
So Steve, you know, you start going to 18th and Vine to hear jazz. Over the years, as you have seen some change there, what's your relationship been like? How has that evolved as you've gotten to know the neighborhood as more than just a place where the Blue Room is?
Well, I guess my major connection to it, Brian, is still just the music and jazz itself. I've been to some concerts in Parade Park behind it, been to the Gym Theater. I go to the Foundation every once in a while when I can muster up the energy to stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning.
And they don't start till late there.
They don't start till late, and those days don't happen as often as they used to. But, you know, I think Eric's right, and I think the big question on the table here for the million-dollar question, which is the hackneyed cliche, is this $27 million going to turn the trick for 18th and Vine or not? That's what city leaders are trying to figure out. That's what the residents and other community leaders are trying to assess right now. And that, in part, is what this forum we're doing tonight is designed to do, to have a conversation, to begin to ferret out some of the thoughts and ideas surrounding this $27 million, which is really just one leg of the stool that we'll be talking about tonight. We're also going to get into the baseball diamonds, Major League Baseball, and the Royals, what they want to do, as well as the Parade Park housing development down there and how that intersects with all this. But, you know, you really sense that city leaders are really struggling with whether this $27 million bond issue, does this get the job done? Will this pull people into the district and revitalize it in a way that Eric Weston is envisioning here or not? You know, perhaps is the answer. I mean, we are talking about jazz as being sort of the cultural base of the district. That's still a tough sell for a lot of people. We're talking about the black side of town, and that's it's tough to attract white people there. That's an issue that's been long discussed, and I think needs to be discussed a little bit tonight as well. And, you know, whether the $27 million cuts through that or not, again, a very tough decision for the city to make right now.
Eric Weston, we had a call from a caller named Paul in Kansas City. He asked, what exactly makes this place unique? It's important to ask that question, he said. We're comparing with Memphis or New Orleans or other places with a rich jazz history. 18th and Vine, how does it compare? And is that of concern to you?
Charlie Parker was here, Duke Ellington. You had the Negro Leagues baseball start down here. You've got the Negro Leagues Museum down here, jazz. This is the place. And one of the interesting aspects of it is that the City of Kansas City Convention and Tourism Bureau, they market and they put the 18th Street in their literature that they send out to people to attract them to the area. It's like a national tourist attraction place. When people come down here and you're driving up and down the street, oftentimes you'll see people taking pictures by the sign that says 18th and Vine. So they want that history there, but it's going to take a lot to get someone to see the vision of what can be done here and why it's important to spend the money here. Nobody, you know, we spend a lot of money in a lot of different areas in this city that doesn't seem like it gets the same scrutiny as it does when it comes to 18th Street or the Black community or East Detroit. And Steve is right with his assessment of how do we get whites to come down here. Well, Saturday when you come down here, Saturday afternoon, you see tons of white people coming down. They go to the Negro Leagues Museum. They might have $5 in their pocket. When they leave, they have $5 in their pocket because there's no place else down here to spend money. So I think that we highlight the important things that we have here, and then we just go with it from there.
Well, I'd like to see more energy down there. And if Kosatani Buckner, Chepto Kosatani Buckner is listening, the new director of the Jazz Museum, you know, when those folks show up on Saturday afternoon, there needs to be live music down there. That's what that area is all about. Usually the music doesn't start until 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night down there. All those things need to be happening. More people, more energy, more food.
Right.
And that's the challenge here. It's not insurmountable, but it can happen.
So we're about out of time, but it seemed appropriate for us to go out on that artist that Eric just mentioned,
yes.
Charlie Parker. This is a song that probably graced 18th and Vine a few times through the years. What are we hearing here,
Steve?
This
is called Now's the Time, one of Charlie's most famous tunes. You'll hear it often in 18th and Vine. It's one of my favorite tunes. They play it every year at Charlie Parker's graveside ceremony at the Linwood Cemetery up there. And just a great track, Brian.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. Appreciate both of you being here. That's Steve Kraske, host of KCUR's Up to Date. Stay tuned about 3 minutes and you can hear some more of him. We've also been joined by Eric Wesson of The Call. Eric, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
See you tonight, Eric.
See you later, man.
And don't forget, tonight's town hall begins at 6 p.m. at Centennial United Methodist Church. That's at the corner of 19th and Woodland. 6 to 8 tonight, it's a town hall on the future of 18th and Vine. You don't want to miss it. You can find this program, Central Standard that is, and all of our others online at kcur.org/centralstandard. You can check that out later this afternoon to hear today's show. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at KCURCST, and I'm at PTS Brian. Tomorrow, join us. We're talking about bodies, what it means for us to have one, and what happens to dead bodies here in the metro when no one else claims them. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our team includes Suzanne Hogan, Jen Chen, and Andrea Tudhope, and our intern is Anna Sterla. Gina Kaufman's on leave. I'm Brian Ellison. Have a great day, everyone.